Good to see everyone. It's good to be back, as I said. And if you would, turn to Psalms chapter 11. I'm going to finish Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, and I think you'll see why. You know, I told you I want so desperately to go to Revelation, but I've not got clearance yet, so I'll just keep going through it and waiting for clearance on that. You know, you have to have clearance to land or it's going to be a disaster. So, chapter 11 of Psalms. I'm going to read here, and then I'm going to read in Amos, I believe, it might be Malachi. I'll know when I get there. And then I'll read some other places. And I think you'll see when I get through why I've read what I read, because that's my method, folks. My method of interpreting Scripture is Scripture. I'm going to let it tell me why it says what it says. And then you can't get wrong. You know, you can't go down a wrong path. All right, Psalms 11. In the Lord put I my trust. Now, I'm going to read the next line so that you'll understand it. It's a little difficult. In the Lord put I my trust, even though they say to me, flee as a bird to your mountain. Now, I made a little note in my Bible. I circle mountain, and out to the left I put safe place. You know, we hear a lot about that now. Everyone needs a safe space, a safe place. And what they're saying is, look, you flee to your place that you feel safe. But the psalmist says, well, I tell you what, I'm going to trust in the Lord. Now, folks, look, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that there's an assault on God now.
That's right.
And if you profess Him, if you confess Him, if you believe in Him, if you follow Him, the assault's going to be on us. And remember, he said now, they don't hate you. They hate me.
That's right.
So you're going to see it more and more now. I assure you, you're going to see it more and more. And so David, the psalmist here, says, well, I'm going to trust in the Lord. I hope that is the prayer and the attitude and the confession of everyone that under my voice this morning, that you have placed your trust in the Lord. He won't fail you. He won't change. You won't wake up tomorrow and find him saying, well, you know, it was that way yesterday, but today I've got a new plan. No, it's not that way. So he says, even though they say for me to flee to my place, he says, for lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string that they may privately shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundation be destroyed. Now the foundation here, you have to understand, he's talking about law and order. Does that make sense today, folks? If law and order be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If you're depending on the law and order of our government in Washington. Now I'm not talking politics, folks. Trust me, I promise you I'm not. When I get done, you're going to see this is not political at all. But if you're trusting in them and their law and order, you're getting ready to find out you'll have to be on their side to get it. If you're opposite them, you'll get no law and order. You'll just get law. But he says, if that happens, what can the righteous do? Well, what did he say he was going to do? Trust in the Lord. Put your trust in Him. Keep it there. Don't be shaken. Don't be stirred. Just trust Him. It's going to look bleak. It's going to look bad. Just trust Him. And I'll show you why. The Lord is in His holy temple.
Amen.
He's not left. He doesn't sleep, nor He doesn't slumber. His eye is always on you. His ear is always bent to you. Your concerns are His concerns. Your needs are His wish. What a God.
Yeah.
What a person to put your trust in.
Amen.
The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. It's not moved. This was written thousands of years ago. You know where His throne is today? Same place it was then. And when you leave this world, when the last breath has left your body, if you know the Lord, if you have trusted in the Lord, you know the first thing you're going to see, bless God, that throne.
That's right.
And you know the next thing you're going to see is Him sitting on
Amen.
It. He ain't moved and He ain't going to move.
That's right.
The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked... Well, no, I'm sorry, I moved. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men. You know, the world seems to think God's ambivalent to anything. You know, do what you want to. God don't care. Honey, that was a rhetorical statement. That's what the world says. We can be our own God. If we don't like who we were born, bless God, we're gods of our own. We can change it. If we don't like who God said for us to hook up with and marry, then we will change that. Well, let's see if that works out. You know, you can do and say what you want to. The thing is, does it work out for you? Well, let's see if it does. The Lord trieth the righteous. In other words, He's going to test you. He's going to put you to the test. Why? Bless God, He wants you to know who you are. Mm-hmm. Now, you'll see that come to... I mean, this will all come to fruition. Trust me. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence. Now, I want you to notice the pronoun there. Pronouns are important. They're not a thing, folks. They're a person. They're either a male or they're a... Now, you can try to change that, but God ain't going to see it that way. See, I mean, you can identify all you want to, but if you don't identify with God, you got trouble. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked... And him that loveth violence, his soul. Whose soul? God's soul. Well, the word soul there simply means personally. Personally. In other words, this is not an ambivalent thing. God himself, let me just read it that way to you. God himself hateth that person. So you see, all these people that want to talk about the love of God, they better understand God don't love you if you don't know His Son.
That's right.
He can't love you. You say, but God is love. He sure is. And if you'll come through His Son, you'll find out how loving He is.
That's right.
But you keep spitting in His Son's face. You keep trampling underfoot the blood of the covenant that purchased you. You'll see, the world's going to see, when God gets up off His throne to judge. You say, Tom, that's a bleak statement. Folks, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 when he's talking about the judgment seat of Christ. And you'll be judged there as to the deeds done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. Does anybody remember the next verse after that? Well, I'll give it to you so that the next time somebody asks you that, you'll be able to tell them. He says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. You know, one of the greatest motivating things that a preacher or teacher can have is knowing the terror of the Lord so that we can persuade men. Heard someone say in the prayer room this morning, we need more people won to Christ. Well, folks, if we don't get off the world's way of trying to do it, we ain't going to win.
That's right.
We got to know the terror of the Lord. Yeah. We got to know and tell people what it's going to be like to face a holy, righteous God when you're unholy and unrighteous. God won't be funning. God won't be laughing. God won't be joking. God won't be compassionate. God won't be merciful. God won't be gracious. God won't be loving. You say, Tom, well, stay with me. You'll see that I'm telling you the truth. You know, I've always told you, and I know I've had people say, Tom, you know, God loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. Well, I'm going to give you a good example of that. A young transgender person walks into a school with two rifles and a pistol, kills three children and three adults. Now, which do you hate? The rifle, but you love the person? Or do you say, I can't separate the two because the rifle doesn't have any legs? The rifle didn't walk up there on its own, shoot the door open, walk in and start shooting people, folks. So if we can't separate the two, God can't separate the two. The only way you can be separated from your sin is come through Christ. And once you do that, you'll know the love of God. I'm not saying God's not love. God is love. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But you got to come his way.
That's right.
Or he hates you. I know that's a tough statement for me to make. God hates the sinner, he says. He is angry with the sinner every day. And if we don't understand that, we got no message to take to him, folks.
That's right.
We say it in compassion. I don't say that with glee. I say that with a sick stomach. But folks, that's the gospel. If you don't know that you're going to go to a devil's hell, how in the world can I say I'm bringing you good news? It's not good news if we go around saying, well, now God loves everybody and we're all children of God and he accepts you as you are. Well, where's the good news? Well, let's see what happens since he hates them. Upon the wicked, he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. That sound like somebody loves you? Huh? Come on, be honest with me. Does that sound like somebody that loves you? That sounds like somebody that's angry at you. That sounds like somebody that's fuming with anger at you. And he's going to pay you. Follow that word pay. That'll come back here in just a little bit, hopefully. This shall be the portion of their cup. Does anyone know what Jesus' prayer was in the garden?
Let this cup pass from
me. Lord, if it's your will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You know what cup he was drinking, don't you? Bless God, he's drinking this cup. You want a demonstration of his love? He was willing to drink the cup that you're going to drink if you reject him, so that you wouldn't have to if you'll come to him. That's what love is. But you reject him. You just read Revelation. Now I get there, I'll tell you about it. You're going to drink the cup of the wine of his wrath. So we need to tell a different message, folk, than it's getting told. It's a fearful thing to die lost and fall into the hands of a living God. Your children, your spouse, your grandchildren, your friends, your foes. No wonder God said, pray for them that despitefully use you. What do you think he means when he says, pray for them? Pray for them, bless God, they'll listen to this and hear it and believe it. He's not saying, pray for them that the Lord will bless them. Well, he's not going to bless unsaved people. My goodness. That's ludicrous. We can't say, God bless you if you don't know Christ. How's he going to bless you?
That's right.
For the righteous, Lord, yeah, I told you he loves. But it's who he loves, folks. For the righteous, that means it's just right. You know, when it says the righteous, that just means it's the right thing for God to do. Mm-hmm. Loves the righteous.
Yes.
His countenance doth behold the upright. That's his church. That's his children. That's the called out one, folks. That's the wicked that got saved. That's the lost that got found. That's who that is. Look, if you will, let me, you don't know where to go, do you? And I don't either. But if you'll give me a second, I'll tell you. It's in Malachi 4. Chapter 4, Malachi chapter 4, last book in the Old Testament.
What chapter did you say?
Chapter 4, verse 1. For behold, the day cometh. That's as certain as you're sitting in that seat. There's a day coming. I don't know when the day's coming. You don't know when the day's coming. But you know what both of us do know? The day's coming. And bless God, when we get up in the morning, we ought to look up. Oh, God, let me walk upright today in case you come. I want you to find me faithful. I want you to find me a witness. I don't want to be ashamed that you're coming. You're coming. Could be day. Like that song, this could be the very cloud that he comes back on. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. Oh boy, that don't sound too good. And all the proud. Who's the proud? You say, well now, Tom, don't count me because, you know, I'm proud of who I am. That's not what that's talking about, though. You know who a proud person is? One that won't humble themselves before God.
Amen.
One that won't listen to God and say, Lord, you're right. I'm as lost as I can be. I'm as unsaved as I can be. I'm as unrighteous as you can be. I'm as unholy as you can be. But I know if I'll come to you, you'll make me all those things right. That's what he's talking about. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all they that do. Well, who is that? Is that that young girl that walked into that school and killed those people? Just as sure as you're sitting where you're sitting, that was a wicked act. But that don't make her any more wicked than the best person on the block. Who refuses to see it God's way.
That's right.
That's who a wicked person is, folks. A person who is not willing to bend the knee, to bow the knee, to confess the Lord. That's the wickedness that he's talking about. And he says, and all they that do wickedly shall be kindling. It's what we used to call it. Or stubble is a different word, sort of. Anybody ever been around straw when it's cured? Sort of sometimes strike a match and throw it in it. But make sure you're pretty good ways away from it. Because you know what it'll do instantly? It won't smoke. It'll flame up so fast, make your head swim. That's the idea here. That's what you're going to be if you reject Christ. That's who people are going to be if they reject the Son of God. So he says, "The day that cometh shall burn them up." Now, that doesn't mean, like some people, well, you get burned up and that's it. You die and you're in the grave and that's it. That's the end of it. No. No, the word burn up there just means thoroughly. From your head to your toes, you're going to burn. And you know the thing about it is you're going to be the stubble that keeps the fire burning. Only it ain't going out. Does that sound good? Does that sound like a message we ought to give out? Well, it's a message we better give out. Because if we don't, they're never going to understand the grace that we preach. The grace that we teach, the love that we preach, the love that we teach, the mercy that we preach and teach. They'll never understand it if they don't understand their position with God is a bad position to have. So he says, "And shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts." Well, I guess that solves that. He says, "My word is forever settled in heaven." Not changed. Didn't change when Malachi wrote it through the Holy Spirit. It's not changed today, folks. What's going to happen in that day? "That it shall leave them neither root nor branch." And our pastor would say, "But!" I hope you'll tell him that. "But unto you that fear my name." See the difference? Did you notice the order that he gave that? Y'all want to share it with us? It's okay.
Yes, we were talking about the fact that you're either saved or you're unsaved. And the first part was wicked, but saved are in such a different spot.
Okay, you want to teach? You're doing a good job. You're sitting beside the teacher.
I know.
That can't teach. Since y'all were discussing it, why don't you tell us why it's in that order?
Because we need to know that even though we're wicked, we have the opportunity to choose to be saved and righteous.
Well, let me give it to you in a simple way. If you don't know you're in verse 1, no need you read verse 2. Well, you're only in 2 if you know you're in 1.
Well,
you can't jump to 2. See, the world wants you to jump to 2. But you got to go through 1 to get to 2. That's simple math, brother, isn't it? I mean, you can't go in your class and say, "All right, kids, we're going to start off with 2. No. It's 1, 2, 3. You can't go and say, "All right, kids, forget 1, 2, and 3. We're going to 4. They fall in order for a reason. "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of righteousness arise with healing in his wings." And you, who's the you there? Oh, the you in verse 2 that got out of verse 1. See, there ain't none of this in verse 1. You didn't read it in verse 1. It's in verse 2. And if you're not in Christ, you're still in verse 1, you're going to burn. It's not complicated. But if we say that, "Oh, you're one of them old hellfire preachers or teachers." No. I just give you God's word. God's a hellfire teacher. God's a hellfire preacher. And if you've got a problem with it, take it up with him when you see him. And you will. arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves. You're going to be taken care of. The others, you know, I've got this saying. I've got saints and ain'ts, that saying. But I've got another saying. You'll either go into the barn or you'll go into the burn. It's one of the two. Those in the barn don't burn. And those in the burn don't go to the barn. God doesn't take care of them. Why? He doesn't love them. He can't love them. It would be against his righteousness and his holiness for him to love them because he said he hated them. But now that don't mean that his love won't overcome that hate if you come to him.
That's right.
It will. But if you don't, it won't. Now, if you will, turn to Matthew chapter, let me see, it's on the left page, right column. I got to start remembering numbers. Give me a second, I'm getting there. I know it's in Matthew. I'm getting there. I'm almost there. And there it is. Verse chapter 18. I'm going to read real quickly. I'm not going to get far today in Thessalonians, but it's okay. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Jesus called a little child unto him, set him in the midst of them, and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be as converted and become as this, as little children, you shall not." You can forget about being greatest. You're not even going. If I could put it in my vernacular, he says, "Whosoever there shall humble himself." Was that not what I said just earlier? The ones that won't humble themselves, where do they go? Bless God, they go in the burn. And they're talking about the kingdom of heaven now, just like the world. You know, they're all looking down. No. They didn't humble themselves and go through Christ. They ain't looking down.
Right.
Folks, please, I don't say that. I'm not trying to be mean or cruel or anything. I'm just trying to get the truth out.
That's right.
We got to get the truth out. We got to quit going to weddings. Well, they're just about to say. Funerals. And people standing there putting everybody in. I don't think you should stand there and put anybody in hell, but I don't think y'all stand there and put them in heaven either unless you know. And he says, by their fruits ye shall know them. You know, it just seems like you watch these. I mean, you watch some of these big funerals that they have, and the person demonstrated nothing for God and Christ. Well, I'm sure they're up there looking down now on this place, and that's a lie, folks.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. I hope everybody's up there, but I know they're not. You know how I know that? Well, a couple of verses in the Bible tell me that. Hell hath enlarged its borders.
Right.
It's more going to hell than going to heaven. You won't read where it says hell or heaven hath enlarged its borders. Oh no, heaven's built to a specific. The specifics are there, bless God, and the numbers specific too. They that were called before the foundation of the world. God knows how many's going to be there. He's got it all lined up.
That's right.
You know another verse tells me that? Anybody want to venture a guess? Straight is the gate. Narrow is the way. But few be that enter. Wide is the gate. Broad is the way. Many be that enter. Folks, there's more going to hell than there's going to heaven. But this world will have you think everybody's going to heaven. In other words, you can go through the wide gate and on the broad road and you can still go to heaven. Well, God don't say that. God don't say that. God says this. In hell, you lift up your eyes being in torment. So who are you going to believe? The world that knows nothing about God, or God that knows everything about God? I'll go with him. I'm like that psalmist. I'm going to put my trust in the Lord. And I'll live with it, and I'll die with it. When they tell you that Tom passed away last night, I want you to think of one thing and one thing only. He took that last breath, trusting in the Lord. And he's just fine. All right, now, he goes on down to say, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Everybody going to be the same. There ain't no greatest. You not greater than me. I not greater than you. We all going because we did what? We humbled ourselves. He says, a humble and a contrite spirit I'll hear.
Yeah.
A broken and contrite spirit I will hear. But seven things doth he hate. You know what the first one is? A proud look. But he says it's so serious that he comes on down there and he talks about your hand and your feet. In other words, if what you do with your hands keeps you from coming to Christ, you know what you ought to do, brother? Cut it off. If your feet is taking you where you shouldn't go and keeping you from coming to Christ, you know what you'd be better off doing? That's God walking around with none. Or not walking, I guess you'd be. Yeah, however you're getting around. He says if your eye, listen, if what you're looking at and what you're seeing and if it's keeping you from coming to Christ, pluck it out. He says, for this reason. Because when you get up there and you're looking down, you won't be looking down with two eyes, you'll be looking with one. No, he don't say that at all. See, that's the world's way of saying it. God's way of saying it's very straightforward. It'd be better for you to go into life maimed than into hell with two arms and two legs and two eyes. Because all you're going to do is see and feel and burn. Does that sound like it's a good thing? Folks, it's a solemn thing. It's a serious thing. It's something, bear with me, it's something. And I've said this to myself so many times lately. It's something that ought to cause us to pray a little deeper for compassion. Knowing that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Knowing the terror of the Lord. Those are terrors, folks. Hell is terror. It's not going to be a party. I had someone tell me the other day, oh boy, it just broke my heart. I ran into she and her husband. And she says, I know I'm going to hell, but Jesus loves my husband because he's going on this trip. No, they were going on a trip with me.
Oh.
But I assure you, before it was over, he knew a little different. You know, and I know she was joking. I do know that. Nobody in their right mind would say that seriously. I do. But folks, we joke about it because we've made a joke about it.
Mm-hmm.
Hell is no longer a serious place. Hell's a cuss word. What the hell do you think about that? Well, when you get there, say, what the hell do you think about this hell? Look, if you will, at Revelation chapter 10. I'm just going to read the verse. You know, if you go back to Ezekiel, and if you go back to Jeremiah, both were given prophecies. Prophecies that were about salvation. Now, let me ask you a quick question before I take you to where I want to take you. Would you say that salvation is sweet? If you're saved, raise your hand. And if you're not, that's okay. That's okay. Salvation is sweet. Wouldn't you say that? Let me ask you this. When someone preaches or teaches about heaven, would you say that's sweet? Listen, nothing gets me feeling better than when you sing about heaven, when you preach about or teach about heaven, my home. That's sweet. So in Ezekiel and Jeremiah, they're given the prophecy about salvation. So he says they were both given a roll to eat. And they were both told the same thing. Take, eat the roll. It'll be sweet in your mouth. Salvation's sweet, folks. But John also was told to take the scroll and eat. Now John's seeing a different picture than Jeremiah or Ezekiel. John's seeing how it ends, folks. And so here's what it says. Verse 7, chapter 10. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, you'll know more about the seventh angel when we get there. When he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he hath declared to his servants the prophet. In other words, just like God says, just what it's going to be. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And you remember what the angel that stood upon the sea and earth said, don't you? Time shall be no more. You know what that means, don't you? It's over. If I could, it's over. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it. What do I tell you every week? Every week I teach, take it, eat it. Jesus said it this way, this is my body. Eat it and remember that it was broken for you. This is my blood. Drink it, for it was shed for you. Eat it every day. You know what it means to eat something, don't you? You digest it. You take it. It's nourishment for you. It's food for you. It lifts you up when you're down. It encourages you when you're discouraged. Take it. Eat it. And I'll guarantee you, to the child of God, it's sweet. Nobody likes donuts more than I do. But I can't eat them. I eat one, I want a dozen. Why? It's sweet. I can't get enough of this. You know what? It's sweet. It wasn't sweet to me before I got saved. I hear people say, well, I'd read the Bible more, but I don't understand it. I don't understand that. I don't understand that. I read a lot of things I don't understand. You know what I do? I just keep reading it. Because he says, if you lack wisdom and understanding, ask of me, for I give liberally, and I upbraid not. I won't put you down because you don't understand my word. You just keep eating it because it's sweet. So he says, I took it and I ate it up, and it, and he said to me, take it and eat it, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was... Let me tell you something, folks. Heaven's sweet, but hell makes my belly bitter. Hell's real. God ain't funny. God's not just some person sitting up there that's ambivalent to everything. He's laid the law down. And I'm going to tell you something. Our law today is meaningless. It's blessed God, like the guy said, whoever's got the guns has got the law. Well, God's got the guns, and God's got the law. God's the judge, jury, and you're going to see he's the executioner, bless God. But you know what? He's also, he's merciful. Oh, he's sitting on that throne. But he says in Isaiah 45, he says, look unto me. Look unto me and live. Here's what that verse says. And you hear a voice behind you. Look unto me. Look unto me. Look unto me. Can I look at him?
No.
What do I have to do to look at him?
Turn around.
You got to turn around. You ain't going to be able to see him unless you turn around. What do we call that? Repentance, bless God. He says, if you'll just repent, look at me, I'll save you. But if you keep walking, I'll burn you. It's that simple. It's not complicated, folks.
Right.
You can tell people, hey, you got the right to just keep on going until you can't keep on going. It is appointed unto man once to die. After that, it's appointed unto man the judgment, bless God. How are you going to face it? He said, what can the righteous do? What can I do, Jimmy? I'll tell you what I can do. I can believe him. And I can stop hearing the voice. He says you hear a voice. He says, except you be drawn, you ain't coming to me. So you hear the voice. Don't tell me you... Hey, everybody hears the voice. For many are called. Everybody's called. Bless God, they're just too proud to turn around. Because the world is telling them, oh, you don't need to... Listen, that's that old religion. You don't need that. We got a new... This is a 21st... What century are we in? Anybody know? I don't know anymore. I don't know male and female. I don't know anything this morning. I tell you what I do know. I do know this word, bless God. And it ain't changing. It ain't going to change. He says, look, I'm back there. I ain't up there. If you'll turn around, I'll save you. You keep going. Bless God, you'll step off one of these days into hell. And then you'll stand before the white throne judgment seat of God. And the book will be open, and your name won't be there. And you know what's going to happen, don't you? He's going to tell them mighty angels, cast them into hell, into the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, where the worm dieth not, the fire's not quenched, and bless God, you're going to be there forever. You say, how long is forever? Forever. Now, if you would look at Revelation. I mean, yeah, I just went to Revelation, didn't I? Where am I going? Anybody know?
Thessalonians.
I'm going back to Thessalonians. Thank you. Tell me where I'm at.
Second
Thessalonians. I'm just going to read a little now. I'll get into it next week. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians. Now, we talked about that, didn't we? This is not a church at Thessalonica. This is the church. Now, I'll tell you how you can remember that. The word church has two meanings. It can mean the called out ones. You know, many are called, but few are chosen. If you look that word up, it's the same as the word they use for chosen. It's the called, it's the chosen ones. How many like being the chosen one? I do, bless God. I'm glad God chose me. He didn't choose me because I was good. He didn't choose me because I was bad. He chose me because, bless God, one day I heard the voice and I turned around and said, save me. You know what he said? Son, I've been waiting on you. I didn't think you'd ever turn around. But no, he wouldn't say that. He knew I was going to turn around. Because you know what? He called me before the foundation of the world. You say, Tom, that's predestination. Hallelujah. I heard a preacher say one time, he said, now listen, if you can explain predestination, I can. I can explain it. It's the sovereignty of God doing what he wants to do. If he wants to send me to hell and save Nick, he's God. But that ain't the way it works. Look unto me and live. What's the rest of that verse? Anybody know it? All, A-double-L-L, ye ends of the earth. Who's that leave out? So everybody is called. But you know who turns around? Those that were chosen. Now you can, hey, you can try to disclaim that all you want to, but you'll have to disclaim this. You say, well, I sure am glad I turned around. I am too. Anybody can turn around, folks, if they'll humble themselves. Let me read a couple verses and then I'll be done. Church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, is that complicated?
No.
Listen, a child can understand that, folks. How do you get into the church? Well, it tells you. First of all, you have to be in God. Right? Well, the next question out of your mouth is, how do I do that? Right? If you have to be in God, the next question is, well, how do I do that? Well, it tells you. In the Lord Jesus Christ. You come through Him, or you'll never see God. You'll come through Him, you'll never know God. If you'll come through Him, you, come on in, you'll be in the church of God. Not a church, the church. Now, he says this, and then I'm going to finish. Y'all come on in. I see you standing out there. Grace unto you. There's that pronoun again. Them little nagging pronouns. Grace unto, well, who's the you? Huh? The church. So what does that tell you? If you want grace, you'll have to be in the church. Well, if you're going to be in the church, you're going to have to be in God. And if you're going to get into God, you're going to have to be in Christ. Now listen, the world can have their own religions. I don't care. I could care less. But they'll care. When God says, no, no son, that way didn't work. That's the broad way. I gave you a narrow way. I gave you my son. I loved you so much that I gave my only begotten son to die for you. And I said if you would come through him, I'd save you. You chose not to. Now it's my choice. And here's what he says. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father. Now who gets grace and who gets peace? The church. Who don't get grace and who don't get peace? Outside the church, folks. Listen, don't go around and tell people, well, now the grace of God's on you. If they don't know Christ, the grace of God's not on them.
That's right.
It's that simple. His peace is not with them. The world wants that different message, folks. The world wants everybody to have his grace and everybody to have his peace, but not have him. Well, it don't work that way. It just don't come out that way. Grace unto you and peace, and there it is again. Same way you get into the church, you get the grace and the peace from God our Father. Now, how does he become your Father? Oh, he says, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Try to go some other way. In hell, you will lift up your eyes being in torment. I know that's not a good message, but that's the bitter part, folks. You know, you can't just take this scroll. You can't just take this word and want the sweet. It doesn't work that way. If you eat this word, it will be sweet in your mouth, but it'll be bitter in your stomach, because you'll see people going to hell, and that ain't sweet. Well, I'll pick up there next week and we'll talk some more. See you.